Let's start with a prayer then. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Begin within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. So I'd like to give you the text of our topic and its principle and foundation. Don't have a pen, I brought a whole batch. I could give it to you free of charge if you don't have one. Okay. So what I'd like to do is read through it with you. And then I'd like to give you a few ideas for you to meditate upon. Just that you're aware of this, that we as oblates, our basic charism is given the spiritual exercises. So the Ignatian retreat. And if you do the spiritual exercise, this is the first thing you're going to be meditating upon. It's like foundation of the rest of the exercise. So I'd like to read through it. And then I actually have written down a few numbers to kind of dissect this so that we can understand it. There's a pope that said that if the world would meditate upon this, the whole world would be saved. It's about 100 words, that's all it is. But if the world and meditate upon this, the world be saved. Because this gives us a very clear reason for why we're here. The purpose of why we're here in this world. So let's read through it, and then we'll dissect it. And then hopefully you'll be able to meditate upon this. No? Just 2 days ago, my fourth book that I wrote was released, and I've written a book on this, a rough draft. You know? It hasn't been published yet, but I hope one day that this a book that I've written will be published on this, because it's so very important. So just in a few minutes, I'll give you some basic ideas, and then hopefully you'll be able to go deeper and deeper the rest of your lives. No? So what I did was I actually just took the Ignatian text, the text itself, and I typed it out this morning. And if any of you are interested in the spiritual exercise, this is taken from the edition of Puhl, P-U-H-L. There are many translations, but this is the best translation I've come across. P-U-H-L, Chicago Press. No? They say in Italian, tradurre, tradire, to translate is to betray, unless you have a really good translation. No? Like if you read Dante, I think Dorothy Sayers is probably the best translation that I studied at Villanova 40 years ago. But there are a lot of translations. You want to have a good translation, right? Okay, so read through it. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God, our Lord, and by means of this to save his soul. The other things on the face of the earth are created for man to help him in attaining the end for which he is created. Hence, man is to make use of them in as far as they help him in the attainment of his end. And he must rid himself of them in as far as they prove a hindrance to him. Therefore, we must make ourselves indifferent to all created things, as far as we are allowed free choice and are not under prohibition. Consequently, as far as we are concerned, we should not prefer health to sickness, riches to poverty, honor to dishonor, a long life to a short life. The same hold for all things. Our one desire and choice should be what is more conducive to the end for which we were created. That's principle and foundation. Okay, so let's dissect it. And number one, I'd like you to just write down, praise God. Praise God. Of all the types of prayer that exist, the different modes of prayer, praise is the highest. Okay, when you're praying, okay, you can thank God, right? You tell God you're sorry. You can become a beggar. You ask God for maybe some gift. These are different modes of expression in prayer. But the most sublime is that of praising God. Now, once you get to heaven, you're going to meet a lot of people, and you're going to be meeting the angels, too. The highest choirs of angels, and the St. Thomas Aquinas is the one that divided them into choirs, not a choir that sings in the church, okay? Rather, levels of perfection. The lowest would be our guardian angels. No? They would be the lowest, the guardian angels. The highest are called the cherub and the seraphim. Those are the highest. And where are they? They're in heaven. They don't busy themselves with us down here on earth. That's too low for them. No? They're in heaven. And what they're doing is they're praising God. That's the highest expression of our relationship with God is to praise God. Now, we are neither angels, nor are we in heaven yet, okay? We're not in heaven yet, we're not angels. But still, we're called to praise God. Even while we're living, we're called to praise God. All right. About a half hour ago, I was able to praise God in the best way I possibly can. And I've done it twice today. What do you think? Right. I just finished celebrating Mass. I had the Mass at 12 o'clock because we have a lot of things going on today. Actually, two Masses today. So I just finished celebrating Mass, and I heard a few confessions. And I'm a little bit late because a lady told me that her mother-in-law is dying. So right after this, I got to rush to the hospital. And you know, as a priest, you're on the move. Okay? So if you're looking just to kick back and enjoy yourself, you're not called to be a priest. I mean, as a priest, you're going to have to work. First pray, but then you have to work. So it's not a man or woman of leisure. It's a vocation where God is calling us to to work hard. To work hard especially to save souls. I'll arrive, this lady may be dying. I'll give her the anointing on the sick. I'll pray the chaplet of divine mercy. And we'll be able to get her into heaven. And if the priests were not there, she might not make it. So I just finished praying the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So the highest way in which you can praise God is by participating in the Mass. Now, you don't do it the way I do it because you're not priest yet. Maybe one day you will be. That's why we're here. You're discerning, no? But still you form what is called by Vatican II, the common priesthood of the faithful. Okay, the common priesthood of the faithful. Maybe you've heard that terminology from Vatican II. You, if you're baptized, you are part of the common priesthood of the faithful. I belong to what is called ministerial, which are related to holy orders. So there's a big difference in that sense. So if you want to praise God, you want to praise God, then you're going to be participating in the Mass as often as you can and as best you can. And I'll give you an expression of the praise of God. Through Him, with Him, and in Him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Okay? You didn't sing the Amen, okay? You were pressed on mute, okay, so you're muted. But there should have been a great Amen that, in which the roof was going up to heaven, no? So that's called the doxology in the Mass. And if you go to the Greek, doxology can be translated in praising. So when you go to Mass, and you're participating in Mass, you're living out principle and foundation. The more that you participate. Now, if you're just there, you're thinking about, you know, the pizza you're going to have afterward, or you're looking at a good-looking girl that's next to you, okay, then you're not going to be getting that much out of Mass because you're not paying attention, no? Because even dead corpses are in the Mass at times, right? That's called a funeral, right? So you can be, there are different grades of participation. Okay, imagine a typical confirmation Mass. I don't think the kids are paying that much attention. I've been teaching confirmation for 40 years. I don't think they're really participating in Mass. We hope, after 2 years, at least, they'll be participating a little bit more than when they started, right? So there's different degrees of participation in the Mass. But the more fully we participate in Mass, the more we live out principle and foundation. You hear me? The more you live out principle and foundation, when you're living out Mass. So you're not going to be doing the way Father John or Father Dave or me as of yet. No, maybe in 7 or 8 years you'll be doing that, no? But still you're called to live out the Mass more fully. And all the different parts of Mass, that of praising God is the most important. If you want a summary of the basic four ends of Mass, being a teacher, I like acronyms. ACTS. Adoration. Contrition. Thanksgiving. Supplication. Yeah. Okay, got that? Yeah. It's a good way to remember things by means of acronyms, no? We're called to adore God. Adoration and praise is about the same. It's a synonym, okay? Okay. So we're praising God in the Mass. We're begging mercy for our sins, contrition, as well as the whole world. T, thanksgiving. The word Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. And S is supplication. Okay? You probably didn't use that word in your vocabulary today. It's not a very common word. But supplication means you're asking for something. St. Augustine, you probably heard him, he says, we're all beggars before God, begging for His mercy. Okay, so that's the first. When we talk about we're called to praise God, that would be especially through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Okay, we're called to, number two would be to reverence God. Called to reverence God. All right. Some of you have probably heard of Pope Benedict XVI. Okay? He was a pope before Pope Francis. A great pope. And probably one of the greatest intellectual popes in the history of the church. He and J.P. II, I mean, what intellects, no? John Paul II would be considered more a philosopher, but Ratzinger, the theology, the greatest one, maybe one of the greatest theologians after Aquinas. And Cardinal Newman, of course, is another great theologian also. But he said this, in the modern liturgy, we're losing the sense of the sacred. We're losing the sense of reverence. So we're losing the sense of the sacred. We're losing the sense of reverence. When we come into church, we're coming into a three times holy God, Isaiah chapter 6. Or we're coming in front of the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. Remember Moses before the burning bush. Take off your sandals. You're walking on sacred ground. So, in many places, we're losing the sense of the sacred. One of the most noteworthy, well-known priests last century was a priest whose name was Father Benedict Groeschel. Okay? Have you heard of him? Okay, Father Benedict Groeschel. None of you ever heard of him, but a very well-known Franciscan priest who was on EWTN for many years, and a well-known writer, speaker, giving conferences, and his life was shortened. He died about maybe 7 years ago. Life was shortened because he's run over in the parking lot. He ended up in the hospital in Orlando, where my brother, who's a surgeon, was present. No? Father Groeschel said that he was in India giving a retreat to the Missionaries of Charity, the MCs. And in one of his free days, he went to a Buddhist temple there in India. And what he noticed was absolute silence in the Buddhist temple. All of them were praying, and he was dressed as a Franciscan with his Franciscan habit on. And the Buddhist monk bowed to him out of reverence, even though Father Benedict Groeschel was a Catholic priest. But in that Buddhist temple, there was absolute silence and reverence. Then he came home in the United States. He entered the Catholic Church. It was like being in Dodger Stadium, okay? Or Yankee Stadium, okay? Interesting. There in this Buddhist temple, the maximum reverence, and we come to the Catholic Church. It's like being where? In the Dodger Stadium. Which is, it's pretty sad because, may God bless the Buddhists. But the Buddhists, we don't have the real presence. But in the Catholic Church, we have the real presence. So when I talk on this principle and foundation, we have to recover the sense of the sacred. And recover the sense of reverence in our churches. Now I would say as a whole in our parish here in St. Peter's, you know, some of you come here, I think I would give us maybe a B or B plus, no, not an A plus, no, because I don't think we've arrived at that. But I think we do a pretty good job in getting our people to have great reverence and respect in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That still we can grow in our sense of reverence before the sacred. Our sense of reverence before the sacred. When I was in Rome, I studied with a lot of Italians who were ordained with me. And there's one of my Italian companions. He was said he was in Spain in a church waiting for his plane. So he spent about an hour or two in the church, and he was all alone in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then he heard someone from the back coming up, dragging something. It was this old lady who was in her 90s. She was walking with a cane. Now, when she arrived in front of the Blessed Sacrament, this old 90-year-old lady with a cane did this. Are you looking? That's reverence. That's reverence. 90 years old with that cane going all the way down. And you're maybe in your 20s or 30s. Probably a lot of you go to the church and you probably do this. Oh, it looks like a dance hall almost, huh? Da, 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 da. I mean, it looks like a dance hall almost. You don't look like you're 92. You're not 89 yet. You're not 95 and a half. You're not 96, no? We're all relatively young, aren't we, no? And that's an attitude of lack of reverence. If we can't even make a good genuflection, and you're not old and decrepit yet, I don't think so. Right? Are you falling apart? I don't think so. That's a manifestation. Lack of faith, a lack of reverence. When you come in front of the Blessed Sacrament, three times Holy God, and you go all the way down to the ground with your right knee, that's reverence. See, there are many ways that I can interpret this text, but I'm giving you a liturgical interpretation of this text. You know, there have been thousands of interpretations of this text in the past 500 years. But I'm talking as a priest, and maybe some of you guys will be priests one day. I think it's almost natural for me to give a liturgical interpretation of this text. A liturgical, which means related to the Mass, related to the Eucharist. Okay, so that would be number two. Number three is we're called to praise, reverence. We're called to serve God. We're called to serve God. We're called to serve God. So we're moving from the contemplative into the active. Okay? From the Mary into the Martha. From the contemplative into the active. So if you have a flourishing, robust, contemplative life, prayer life, God is going to move you, He's going to move you and motivate you to want to bring your Catholic faith to others. And that's what service is. To want to bring your Catholic faith to others. Not to keep it to yourself. Okay, Thomas Aquinas says this. Thomas Aquinas. The greatest thinker in the world. Right? Thomas Aquinas, no? And he's one of our own, right? Thomas Aquinas says, if I give you something on a material plane, like I give you $20, I'm leaving $20 impoverished. But I share with you my faith, what's happening? You're becoming enriched, and I'm becoming enriched all the more. So right now that I'm sharing my faith with you guys, free of charge, okay? I'm sharing my faith with you right now. When I leave this talk, my faith is going up higher. And I'm not becoming impoverished by sharing. I'm becoming all the more rich. Got that? That's the beauty of knowing your faith and sharing your faith. Every time you share your faith, you're going up. So you want to grow in your faith? Share it with someone else. Share it with someone else. And your faith is going to be growing and growing. So, that would be the next point. To serve God, one way we serve God is to share our faith with others. Okay, what we've gone through up to this point is the contemplative part and the active part. Most of you know that we're oblates of the Virgin Mary. I hope so. We're oblates of the Virgin Mary. Look at Mary in the contemplative mode, then the active mode. First joyful mystery, second joyful mystery. Okay, so the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation, right? There's Mary in the contemplative mode. Got that, Evaristo? She's in the contemplative mode. She's in silence, she's in prayer, she's in dialogue with God through the Archangel Gabriel. That's a contemplative mode. Then the Visitation, she moves from the contemplative mode into the active mode. Got it? What does she do? She goes what? She goes in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. First, she has this encounter with God, which results in what's called the Incarnation. When Mary said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to their word," you have the Incarnation. The second person of the Trinity descends from heaven and takes flesh in the womb of Mary. That's a contemplative act. But she can't keep that to herself. What does she do? She goes and she brings Christ to others. To St. Elizabeth. As well as to St. John the Baptist. So she doesn't keep it to herself. She gives it to others. And that's the dynamic of following Christ as a priest or religious. We encounter Christ in prayer. Then from the prayer, we bring Christ to others. Got that? All right. So, after that, Principal Foundation says, and by means of this, to save my soul. Save my soul. There's nothing more important in this world than for you to save your soul. Nothing more important. Nothing more important than to save your soul. Nothing more important. Jesus puts it this way. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Did you know that there was a great saint that was converted by that verse? You didn't know it? Well, I'll tell you who it was. Saint Ignatius of Loyola was studying in the University of Paris, which would have been the Harvard, the Oxford, and Yale back then. It was where Aquinas actually taught earlier. That was the best university in the world. He was there studying with a couple of pals. He was older. And one of his companions was a man who had a lot of complexes, a lot of phobias. He was very timid, very introspective, but he was a genius. No doubt about that. His last name, Favre. a good French name. Ignatius gave him the spiritual exercises, and this man went on to become the greatest expert in giving the spiritual exercises after St. Ignatius. And in the formation of the Jesuits, the La Compagnie de Jesus, the Company of Jesus, he was the first one to be ordained a priest. His name today is St. Peter Fabre. Yeah. The other guy was the exact opposite. It's almost as if he lived in the old. He was a party animal. When you say in Spanish, le gustaba la pechanga. Okay? You know Spanish well. Okay? Le gustaba la pechanga. He liked la fiesta. He liked the party of life. He liked to be with people. He loved life. He would have made it to the Olympic Games in the high jump. Okay? Super athlete. And Ignatius went after this guy. He said, man, this guy is converted. He's got so many talents. This guy was a genius too, but an athletic genius. So this guy, Ignatius, is going after him and says, look, you know, do the exercises. And he was rebuffing Ignatius for a long time. And he kept saying, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lose his soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? It's like a hammer blast that kept repeating it over and over again. Finally, he says, okay, I'll do it. So St. Ignatius took him through the spiritual exercises. And after a good month of meditations, this guy was converted. Ignatius said he was the hardest nut to crack. This guy, he was tough. But he kept repeating that word. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? That man went on to become one of the greatest missionaries in the Catholic Church. And his name is Saint Francis Xavier. After Saint Paul, possibly known to be the greatest missionary in the Catholic Church, after Saint Paul. He's a patron of missions with Saint Therese. But Ignatius kept pounding away at him, praying for him, and say, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? You know, I've often thought about that. You know, we as priests, before we become priests, obviously we thought about the married life. Of course. And I happen to come from, this is something really rare, you know, one of nine, but I actually come from not a dysfunctional family. Today that's almost impossible. No, I came from a good family. A good family. So I saw just a lot of my mom and dad were married for 62 years, no? And I went back to celebrate their diamond jubilee. You know what that is? 60 years. And I was having a dinner with them, and one of them said, I think when my mom said, we never had one serious problem in 60 years. Who can say that today? Most can't say we've had a lot of serious problems in 60 days, no? It's because God was in the center of their life. But I've often thought, if I were married with 8 or 9 kids, great. But I've often thought I can save more souls as a priest. I can save more souls as a priest. And even as a child, I was thinking about three things, three vocations. One is I'm going through a minor desolation now because, can I tell you why? The Yankees lost. Okay, right, John? We're going through a minor desolation, okay? Minor, no? But I was thinking, as a young, I'd like to be a baseball player. I'd like to be a baseball player. I thought I'd like to be a writer. And I said, I'd like to be a priest. And I look back, those three things, it happened. I played at Villanova, okay, it was a pretty well-known university there in Philadelphia. I didn't make it to the Yankees. I didn't replace Mickey Mantle. No. A couple of days ago, my fourth book was released, okay, and now I'm a priest. You see how God works. I never expect it to happen that way, but see how God works. So, praying always over those three ideas, no? Athlete, writer, and priest. But the trump card was this. God calls. Married life, okay, I got to try to get my wife into heaven and there's nine kids. But as a priest, the sky is the limits. Sky is the limits. And if you know how to communicate, especially here in LA, you know you have to know Spanish. Right, David?
Yep.
I mean, you have to know Spanish. You know Spanish, you know how to communicate, sky's the limits. Because you can preach. Teach. Tomorrow I'm going to have an interview with your uncle's radio. He's been going after me the past couple of months, no? His uncle is Jesse Romero, no? So he liked one of my articles that I write articles. He said, I really like this one, The Angel. Let's get Father Broome on the program. So I tried to get on Zoom and it failed. So I'm heading up toward Pomona. So before I hit Pomona, I'll hit Covina where it is, and I'll do an hour program. And you know, these radio programs, I mean, they hit a lot of people. They hit thousands of people. Thousands of people. And the means by which we can get known as oblates and maybe get people to think about the possibility of vocation. And then if you know, in the Spanish, I had 10 years, I had my radio program, El Radio Guadalupe, 10 years. Now I moved from there to El Sembrador. I'm moving to another station. Sembrador is even bigger. No? And is it the platform to preach? Platform to preach. So when I think about saving souls, there's a big difference between saving 9 or 10 souls and saving thousands. Okay. Let me ask you this, if you think I'm going overboard now. I'm going overboard. When I say Mass, and I do every day, I will often beg for this grace, that this Mass will save 1 million souls. Hello? Anyone home? Hello? Anyone home? Okay. And when I'm saying that prayer, Father John, I hear a voice where Jesus says, why are you asking for so little? Ask for more. Ask for more. One Mass could save the whole universe because it's the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? How's your English, Sheila? Is that hyperbole? What that means? Literary flair to emphasize a point, right, Webster? I'm not using hyperbole. I'm telling the truth. So I'm thinking, having a beautiful wife and having a nice family, great. But being a priest, much better. For me. Because you can glorify God and you can save more souls. You can save more souls. And I was ordained a priest before any of you guys were born. I was ordained by John Paul II. You ever hear of him? So look, I got holy hair. I am a third-class relic. How about that, no? I'm a walking third-class relic. And when my barber cuts my hair, she holds on to that hair. She holds on to my hair. Third-class relic, huh? Third-class relic. So you guys, when you're going through a principle and foundation and salvation of soul, you have to be honest with yourselves. You have to be honest with yourselves. Okay, what is the way in which I can sanctify myself best? And what is the way in which I can save most souls? You got to be honest with that. And, you know, don't run away from the question. Amen? Amen or oh me? Amen. That's not an oh me, is it? No? No, I mean, you got to sit down with the Lord in this retreat and with calmness, maybe talking it out with, you know, our friend Father John, talk it out. What is God saying to your heart? And Saint Alphonsus Liguori, who's another great saint, that our founder loved him and spread his writings, he said this: You're only going to be happy if you say yes to the vocation that God has given to you. I repeat. You're only going to be happy if you say yes to the vocation that God has given to you. So, if you're called to the married life and have 10 kids, get married and have 10 kids. That's how you're going to be sanctified. But if you're called to the religious life and to the priesthood, for the love of God, say yes to it. Say yes to it if God calls you. It's about back in 77. Back in 77, there was a young man visiting the Oblates in Boston. We just arrived here in the early 70s. We haven't been here that long. No? And he was visiting several times. And he was a professional teacher. And he was finishing the first year in teaching. And he was thinking, well, probably better another year to have more experience in teaching, to mature. But there was a brother there in the seminary who said, Saint Alphonsus and Saint Augustine say that God knocks and knocks and knocks at the door, and then he knocks, and if we keep saying no to the knocking at the door, then he never returns. That broke the straw of that young man who was resisting. And the brother was Father Larry, who's a brother, and that young man, that was me. That was me. So I was putting it off. I had already finished my year. I had already graduated. I was already teaching there in Philadelphia. And I was saying, well, another year, because another year of teaching will make a little bit more money, a little bit more knowledge of how the world is, but God was knocking at my door. You know, if I didn't say yes then, I probably wouldn't be here. That was the chronos. That was the key time for me to say yes in that moment. And God used Father Larry, who's now an older priest now. You probably know who he is, right? He was just a brother. He wasn't even a priest yet. But God inspired him to say, God knocks and knocks and knocks. Then he doesn't knock anymore. That hit me like a ton of bricks. think I better move on it now, otherwise the Lord is passing and he'll never return again. To make sure that if God is knocking at the doors of our hearts, if today you hear his voice, Psalm 91, right? Today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as at Meribah and Massah in the desert. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. We tend to say, listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking, right? We turned it around. Actually, it should be both, no? We should both learn how to listen and learn how to speak. But we have to learn how to listen. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Not always, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, huh? It's a two-way street. And prayer is a two-way street. So that part of Prince and Foundation, which is salvation of our soul, is very important. You want to pray over that and ask the Lord, ask the Blessed Mother, ask Saint Joseph, what is the way in which I can praise God most, I can reverence God most, I can serve God most, and I can save my soul and save other souls. You know, if you become a saintly priest, you're going to be saving thousands of souls. You will. Thousands of souls. Have any of you ever heard of the Curie of Ars? None of you, not even Father John? Okay. The Curie of Ars. Paul Wynn was actually ordained on his feast day. The Curie of Ars is the most famous diocesan priest in the Catholic Church. And he spent 15 hours confessing for about 40 years. Try to imagine that. Imagine that. You're in the confessional for 15 hours a day for 40 years. Now, you're probably not going to do that. You become a priest, no? Probably not. I think the most I've ever done is maybe 14, 15 hours, like a Good Friday, but I don't do it every day, no? But at the end of his life, and if you guys like to read, you can read his autobiography, Abbe Trochu, Tan Publisher. It's the best version. You can get another shorter version from Father Bartholomew O'Brien, Tan Publisher, short version. Father Rutler has also, there's a lot of versions, but the one by Abbe Trochu is the best version. Now, I don't like to quote the person I'm quoting now too often, but the devil. The devil appeared at the end of his life and said, if there were more five of you in the world, my kingdom would be destroyed. So think about that. So six of the Curie of Ars, his kingdom would be destroyed. Oh, he had about 11 of you guys here. Man, you guys... You'll all become priests. Man, you're gangbusters, you know? You're going to be shaking the very foundations of hell. But it's the holiness of the priest, because he was a holy priest, a very holy priest. So I'll leave it at that. I've got to go to the hospital now. This lady is dying. Sometimes we go to visit hospitals, and the people are afraid of the priest. They think the priest goes, the people has to die. And they say, I'm not the undertaker, I'm the uppertaker. Amen? There's a difference, right? I didn't work at Forest Lawn. I work at the church, no? I'm not the undertaker, I'm the upper taker. So let's say Hail Mary, and I think is it time for lunch, for dinner? What?
Adoration.
Oh, adoration, very good. Okay. So let's say Hail Mary, and I will give you my priestly blessing, and I'll pray for you guys that you'll discern and do what God wants you to do so that you will be able to become saints and bring as many people to heaven as possible. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. And the Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, God bless them.